بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, as we have been seeing and saying, we are going through one of the, or perhaps the biggest global crisis that we have ever faced, at least in my memory. I don't remember facing anything like this or even reading about anything like this, something that affected the entire world at the same time, including the world wars. I mean, where they were being fought, people there were affected, but people in other places were not affected. But in this case, everybody everywhere is affected, and they are affected in multiple ways, not only in one way. For some, it's a affliction of the body, and for others, it's an affliction in terms of lifestyle. For others, it is an affliction in terms of literally humanitarian needs. It's not even for many people, it's not just a matter of lifestyle. It's a matter of literally having food to eat, having a roof over your heads. And therefore, it is something that needs us to reflect on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us. As we know from the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these kinds of calamities as a sign of His anger, as a sign of His anger, but in a way of mercy, because this anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we heed this, if we heed the warning, and if we change ourselves, so this is two conditions. One is to heed the warning, and second thing is to change ourselves, meaning that we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, with nadamat, with regret, and we then change our ways. If we do that, then this is a matter of great khair, great barakah. But if you don't do that, then it's something which is going to be extremely costly for us. I want to share with you two things which people sent me. One was, somebody said, anyone who thinks that 2 or 3 weeks from now we are going back to normal and everything will be just like it was, raise your hand. And then he said, now slap yourself with that same hand. And in another one, which I thought was very thoughtful, was, before you think of going back to normal, think about what in that normal you would like to go back to. The reason I'm saying this also is because one of the things that's happening around the world, and we see that on Twitter, we see that on all kinds of social media, WhatsApp and so on, is a lot of jokes, a lot of so-called dark humor, black humor, morbid humor, all sorts of jokes related to coronavirus, related to masks, related to social distancing, related to self-quarantine and so on. And this is all passed off as, oh, but you know, we should be humorous and this is good humor and so on and so on. Now, I'm the last person in the world to object to humor. But I must draw your attention, and I must remind myself that there is something as humor which can be out of place many times. This is one of the issues of humor. Now, why am I saying that this humor is out of place? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these calamities like this, which affect people. And Allah said, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَدَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, and this is ayah number 43, for those of you who want to look it up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu said, when our torment, when our punishment reached them, why then did they not believe with humility? But their hearts became hardened, and shaitan made fair seeming to them that which they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when this kind of thing happens, when there is a torment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to continue to live your life as if nothing has happened is a sign of the hardness of heart. It's a sign that we have not learned any lesson, and that we are trying to all pass it off as humor, and this is entirely and totally undesirable. Now, second thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this tendency to deny the messengers. And by messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specifically say that messengers who are human. There are many messengers. Every time you attend a Salatul Janaza, it is a messenger, which is reminding us of the day when we will be the corpse for whom others will pray Salatul Janaza, inshallah. Every time we get a sickness, it is a messenger to say that there are things which are not in my control, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in control. There are messengers, every white hair in your beard, and may Allah give me good sense, my whole beard is white. Every white hair in your head, every white hair in your beard, every wrinkle on your skin is a messenger that life is passing and that our end is approaching. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad ma ya'tihim min rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that hasrat ala al-ibad. Allah said, oh, what a time of regret, what a time of hasrat it is for the slaves, for the people, that there has never come a rasul to them, that there never has a messenger come to them that they did not deny. Never has a messenger come to them that they did not deny. Now see how amazing is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how amazing is this message that we are getting. To say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, Allah is saying that how heedless can you possibly be? And Allah is saying that this is something which is so human that we do not pay heed to that which benefits us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending messenger after messenger, but we continue to ignore. Now this coronavirus is also a messenger of Allah. It is a warning, it's a sign. Now to treat this as a joke, to treat this in the name of good humor and so on and so forth, and just laugh it off, is something which is a sign of the hardness of our heart. Now what is the problem with hardness of heart? Hardness of the heart is, may Allah protect us from that, it is a sign that the doors of guidance and hidayat have been shut. Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu says that dry eyes are a sign of the hardness of the heart. And Allahu alam, how many of us are able to weep for the glory and majesty of Allah, to weep for our own sins and our own transgressions in salah and when we make dua? So hardness of the heart is a very major and critical ailment which we need to warn ourselves against. And laughing at a time like this is a sign of the hardness of the heart. Now what must we do? First and foremost, we must use this time, especially since we have been confined in our homes and so on, to reflect, to think about what is happening and why it is happening. Now what is happening is that there is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it happening? We need to look in our own lives. Just think about this. One of the interpretations that is made with respect to the closure of the masajid, and of course we should close the masajid in terms of the health risk involved, But think about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in a situation where we are forced to close masajid. So on the one hand, where we used to say that your salah, if you deliberately do not go to the masjid, and if you're, especially if you live close to the masjid, then whether your salah is in your home is acceptable or not, we don't even know that. On the other hand, we are saying now close the masjid and pray at home. And this is not from ourselves. Believe me, wallahi, this is not something that we or me or somebody else has dreamt up. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to stay at home at times like this, and that he said that if you stay at home seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing that only your qadr, what is written in your qadr, can touch you, then even if you remain healthy and alive at home in self-isolation, in self-quarantine, and survive this calamity, even if you live, Allah will declare you as a shaheed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of being a shaheed because you stayed at home. You didn't stay at home out of cowardice, you stayed at home because this was the hukum and the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what we are saying, close masajid and pray at home is alhamdulillah, it is the sunnah to follow. Those who are not doing that, they are going against the sunnah. May Allah protect us from ourselves, and may Allah protect us from leaders who lack wisdom. Those who are insisting that the masjid should be open and a few people at least should pray, all it needs is one infected person. It's not a question of few people. It's not a question of 5 people or 10 people or 20 people. It's even if one single person is infected, that person can contaminate and that person can spread the contagion to many others. And then we get involved in that because it came from your masjid. And may Allah protect us. This bad name that will come to the Muslims and to the to Islam, the people who kept those masajid open, they will be responsible for that. They are culpable. But the point to think about is this, that Allah closed the doors of His houses for us. Why? Think about that, right? Like yesterday in Talim, Dr. Ali was saying, he said, if you are really upset with somebody, what is the first thing you tell them? You tell them, don't ever come to my house. Get out of my house. Don't come back. Now, this is what we would say as a very serious matter. Now, wallahu alam, I'm not saying that Allah is saying this to us. We ask and you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to say this to us. But the fact is that the doors of masajid are closed. For the first time in so many days, Umrah is stopped. For the first time in living memory, I know this has happened before, Tawaf in the Kaaba was stopped for other things, but I'm saying in living memory, for the first time the Tawaf of the Kaaba has stopped. For the first time Umrah has stopped. Now really, if we don't take heed, and if we are going to get just live a life of heedlessness and joking and so on, what face will we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, what must we do therefore is convert this calamity into a blessing. As I told you, even the punishment of Allah which comes to us in this life comes as a blessing because it is designed to and it is intended to turn us away from shaitan and to turn us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we need to do is to reflect and say that Allah, why did this happen? We know why it happened. No guesswork is needed. It happens because Allah is displeased with us. Now, why is Allah displeased with us? My submission, think of yourself. Don't worry about everybody else. Think about yourself and say, why is Allah displeased with me? Every single one of us will find something or the other that we are doing in our lives in terms of how we live our lives, in terms of following the ahkam and the orders of Islam, in terms of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of what we earn, what we eat, where we earn from, where we spend, what we do, what we don't do. Look at our businesses, look at our lifestyles, and we will find things that we are doing, we know they are wrong, but we are still doing them. How we treat our families, how we treat other people. We know these things are wrong. We know these businesses are haram. We know that our borrowing of money on interest is haram. We know that lending money on interest is haram. We know all of these things, but we still do them. Now is the time to stop doing them. So So make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be contrite, be apologetic to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sincerely make istighfar and make tawbah. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately get out of those businesses, get out of those means of earning. Where you cannot get out immediately, meaning, for example, you have borrowed this sum of money and you don't have the money to pay it back, at least make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help to help you to get out of that, and swear before Allah that you will never take another loan. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Rasulullah ﷺ taught this dua to Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he said that if you have debt even the size of the mountain of Uhud, make this dua and Allah will settle that debt for you. Allah will complete it and remove this debt from you. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Say this three times. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. In the description of this, I will send you this dua and the translation. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable the halal to be sufficient for us and to save us from the haram. Make this dua. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will settle your debt. As far as haram businesses are concerned, please, if you have anything in your shops which is haram, you know this, you know what to do. Take it out of the shelf and throw it in the garbage. That's it, period. Khalas. Don't let shaitan come and tell you, you know, I'm going to sell this and then I won't buy new stock. No, that selling of it is haram. You know this, so throw it away. Just pick it up and throw it in the garbage. Do that because this is your lifesaver. Second thing is reflect on our behavior, reflect on our dealings, and use this time as a time of reflection to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing is, alhamdulillah, the masajid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, biznillahi ta'ala, masajid are closed, but turn your house into a masjid. We are coming to Ramadan. Wallahu alam whether the masajid will be open before Ramadan, whether we will be able to pray Taraweeh, looks very unlikely, but alhamdulillah, you can pray Taraweeh in your own house. You can do the khatam of the entire Quran. The imam, it is permissible for the imam to read from the mushaf. So if you don't have a hafiz at home, no problem. Put the mushaf on a table next to the imam, or you are getting these very nice stands on which you can fix an iPad so you can read from that, or you can take a stand which is in front and put the mushaf on that and read from that. If you are praying 20 rakat in the Uthmani, the Arabic script, each juz is 21 pages. So in the first rakat, read 2 pages, and after that, 1 page per rakat. Alhamdulillah, you will finish 20 rakat. So similarly, whichever version of the Quran you are reading, divide it up, look at how many pages there are in the juz, and divide that up into the number of rakat, and you can lead salah with the imam reading from the mushaf. Inshallah, there's no problem. People standing behind the imam reading from the mushaf, this nullifies their salah because that is extra motion which they should not be doing. Don't do that. But the imam himself can lead, and alhamdulillah, he can read from the mushaf. So turn your homes into, alhamdulillah, masajid. By masajid, I don't mean collect a whole bunch of relatives there. No, just you and your family. But make the home into that. Second thing is, since everybody is at home, make sure that every salah that you pray in your house is a salah by jama'ah. There should be no salah that people are praying individually. Pray every salah by jama'ah. Create a timetable of salawat and pray every salah by jama'ah. Designate a place in your house which is your musalla for the house, and pray every salah by jama'ah. Then after at least one salah, and bi tawfiqillahi ta'ala, if Allah gives you tawfiq, maybe more, but at least after one salah, all the family members who are praying, then sit together and remind yourself about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get everyone to talk, let them say something, what's in your mind, what's in your heart, how can we glorify Allah, how can we make istighfar, how can you follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So different ideas. And then take from, if you have any good books in your home, take say Riyadu Salihin, for example, or Imam Nawawi's 40 Ahadith, Arbaeen Nawawiyah. Take those and then read from that. Please understand, in these matters, don't get stuck in fiqh. Do not get into masail. Don't argue about that. Don't say this one said that, that one said that. No. Talk about the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And talk about the akhirah, where all of us are destined to go, whether we like it or not. Use this time beautifully in order to help us to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us talk to each other, start conversations, speak to each other in the home. Don't get stuck and with your face in your phone. Forget about the phones. Talk to each other. Talk to, call people who you haven't spoken to for a long time. If you have got any misunderstanding with people and that's the reason you weren't talking to them, this is the time to make up all that. Forget all these things. One of the major things that this calamity has done, it is that it has reminded of us of what is truly important in our lives. Our lives were running. We were like mice running on a roundabout, going round and round and round, and we didn't even know what we were doing. We have been forced to sit down. We have been forced to stay at home. When was the last time that you saw in America or anywhere in the world that for weeks on end, people are just sitting at home? They are not going out. There's no work to go out to. There is no clubbing. There is no entertainment. There is no nothing. You're at home. When was the last time you saw that? Never. And that is the greatest blessing, alhamdulillah. Let us use that as a blessing. No need to go crazy. No need to spend that time watching nonsense on television or your face in the phone or face in Facebook or something. No. Spend that time on reflection. Spend that time on writing. Write down your thoughts. Take a notebook and start writing and write down your thoughts. Build relationships with your family. Build relationships with your friends. Talk to people you haven't talked to for a long time. Use this time constructively and productively, inshallah. And then make sure that, inshallah, al-musta'an, we make lots and lots of dua. Make a lot of dua for hidayat for everybody, for forgiveness, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to relieve us from this suffering. One of the things that has so strongly struck me is that all these pretensions that we had, pretensions to being scientifically knowledgeable, pretensions to being materially powerful and wealthy and this and that, and the peak of civilization, everything is stark naked. Everything has been thrown in our face to show that you are nothing. You are less than nothing. Because the thing that is afflicting you is so minute and so small that you can't even see it except under an electron microscope. And that thing has laid you low. Your economy is in shambles. Your travel has been shut down. Your money has become worthless. Your health is at risk. And you are living in a state of fear. Illa mashallah, except for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided, they are not living in fear. But for the majority of the world, they are living in fear. They are living in terror. People that you loved and you want, the moment you see them, you want to hug them. Those people, you don't go near them. You can't touch them. And that is a good precaution. Believe me, I am not against it. I am very much in favor of that. Don't hug them. Don't kiss them. Don't shake their hand. But make this as a learning point for you to say that, what is this showing me? This is showing me that that person really I loved. Now, how many times did I used to hug him before when I could hug him? Right now you suddenly realize, oh my God, you know, I want. But when you could do that, were you doing that? Were you talking to your friends? Your friend was still there. Were you talking to your friends? Were you talking to your parents and your children? Were you talking to your relatives? Were you talking to people and inquiring about them? How are you doing and so on? I get messages every single day. Alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful to those who send me messages and who ask me, you know, how are you and so on and so forth. I hope you are safe. May Allah bless all of you and may Allah keep you safe. But alhamdulillah, my point is, only now we are sending these messages. Safety has always been a feature. Let us make sure, as I said in the beginning, when life returns to normal, which it will, inshallah, let us decide what that normal is going to be. Don't go back to the normal that you came from, because that normal is the reason why we are in this mess. The reason why Allah punished us is because our normal, Allah does not like. So when we want to go back to normal, don't go back to the same normal which created this mess in the first place. Decide what is the normal that you want to go back, and go back only to that normal and not to the old normal, the default that we came from. My brothers and sisters, This further reminder is a bit long, but alhamdulillah, as I said, you have nothing else to do, so you may as well listen to this and really seriously reflect and make this confinement in our homes a means of great blessing that we can look back upon as a turning point in our lives. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.